that we would reach the world for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. I'm thankful for the 15 minutes. I'm going to try to make the most out of them, and I'm going to try to get every ounce that I can out of this. And just an interesting fact is this morning as we were here and tonight, I just remember that I don't take this preaching lightly. I don't take being here in front of you. I don't take leading worship or even serving at the media lightly before your church. Just a year and 6 days ago, we were up here on the stage and we prayed and we ordained and we prayed and we also empowered a new generation of leaders. And so amazing what can happen in a year, but at the same time, God is with us and he's been with us. And I thank God for every season of it because he's given me experience. He's made me go deeper. I haven't read the word as much as I have this year because honestly, without the Lord and without the word of God, where are we, right? And so that's why I'm bringing you hope tonight with the word of God. And as I was thinking today of what to share, I actually had something else on my mind, but this afternoon I got home. I had a good lunch. I got to enjoy some time with my daughters. And then I just was thinking about you guys, the church, and myself tonight. And I got this picture of Acts 1, chapter 1. A lot of times when we talk about Acts, we like to talk about Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes and empowers his people. But not often do we talk about Acts chapter 1, specifically verses 12 and 14. So that's what I'm going to be reading from, and the title of this message for tonight was entitled, Waiting on the Lord. I found it fitting that we're going into a week of prayer, into a week of fasting for some of you, into a week of just devoting ourselves to the Lord. And I'm sure that Pastor Gog is going to bring a very powerful word tonight that's going to give us vision for the next year and for the future. And so I thought I would hone in more on this coming week coming up in front of us. So if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to just read from Acts 1, verse 12 and verse 14. So here's 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which was near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And 14. And all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And actually, I'll read 15 as well. In those days, Peter stood among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. Amen. I'm going to pray if that's okay. Jesus, I just invite you in this place. Holy Spirit, we know you are here. And Jesus, we know that you're here. But I invite you specifically to just be with me as I share this word. I pray that you would encourage the church. I pray that you would fill us with hope and encouragement. And God, I pray that whatever we speak and sing and pray would ultimately always draw us closer to you and to your word and to your presence, and that we would be touched by you. In Jesus' name, amen. I skipped over 13 because it just basically mentions all the apostles that were there as well, but you get the point. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever had to wait on a test result? Right? I know when I got sick just a few weeks ago and Jessica got sick, and I know a lot of us got sick because we were all sick during Christmas and New Year's, and that wasn't the best time. It came at a time when we needed to meet for church or we needed to go to work. I know Jessica had to go to work, and when you get sick, the symptoms were a little confusing this time around, like if maybe some of you guys can understand, and we had to go get tests, but it took 3 days, or sometimes it took more, or sometimes it took less. So it was really hard to figure out what to do with work. Do you stay home? Do you go to work? Do you wait for the test results? This trial period of waiting, we're all accustomed to that. Or maybe, let me ask another question, maybe to the younger generation, this happens a little bit, you know, when you're younger, like you have to wait for things to happen in life. Maybe you're looking forward to certain events in your life that you're waiting for. Some of you guys are wanting to date. Some of you guys can't wait for school to be over. You're asking the question, when will school be done so I can work, so I can move on with my life? When will I have this person in my life? I know a lot of times when we were younger, we asked the question, who will I marry? That was always the biggest question, and that waiting period was always the hardest time. And ironically, you know, I'm only 34 years old, but in like, I've gotten some gray hairs now. I've lost a little bit of hair. I've also just dealt with some more stress, you know. And as you get older, you start to think the opposite. You start to think, man, if I had more time. If I had more time to just to rewind some things and to capture moments that maybe slip by. Especially when you go through trials, you realize how much we need time. And so with that question too, I want to bring it back to this verse 12 and 14 and this passage. See, what happened in this passage right before is Jesus was with the disciples and the apostles, and he was with them, and he gave them many, many different things after his resurrection. And what happened was, he said in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So he gave them this promise that he will, he's going to leave, but we're going to be, especially the disciples, they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from then. And it's interesting that it was 10 days of waiting upon the Lord. So they all gathered in an upper room and they waited upon the Lord. And what was unique about this situation is that he actually gave them a specific amount of time. You know, we're all waiting for the Lord to come, right? We're all waiting for the second coming, but no one knows the time. But here Jesus says, in a few days, soon it will come. And so I'm thinking about this passage and I'm putting myself in the shoes and I'm putting us, church, in the shoes of that situation. Here comes the crucifixion of Jesus. And the man you spent 3 years with, walking daily. He's been teaching you. He's been with you. You've seen miracles. You've seen different things. He now gets crucified. But then you see him resurrect, and he's with you for 40 days. So you're going through this up and down season. You're going through a season of highs and lows. And now he's saying, I have to leave, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So, hey, one of my questions is, what is so important about the Holy Spirit and why do we need the Holy Spirit, right? If Jesus himself said, I need to go so that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, can come. But at the same time, the church is going through a period of waiting and it must be really difficult for them. A period of confusion, a period of asking questions, a period of how many days is a few days? You know, 2 weeks to slow the spread turns into how long? Like, you just don't know anymore with timelines these days. So all of a sudden, anxiety and confusion and stress kicks in. But here Jesus is very specific in a few days. And 10 days later, they definitely were touched and marked by the Holy Spirit. But my question is, in those 10 days, what did they do? See, they gathered together and they spent time preaching the Word of God, praying together. And the Bible says that they were in one accord. And the reason I had this picture of Acts 1 for us today is because starting tomorrow for the whole week, entering into Communion Sunday coming up, we're going to be spending a lot of time praying together and being in the house of the Lord. And I figured that it would be a great opportunity for us to realign ourselves with the disciples and with the promise of Jesus that if we wait upon him, that we would prepare ourselves to be touched by the Lord, marked by the Lord, and used by God. Because we're called to be disciples. We're called to be a people who touch the world, and we don't just keep it within these four walls, but that we get touched by the Holy Spirit to empower ourselves to go out and preach the gospel and see people healed and all that great stuff. But see, waiting on the Lord requires a few things. It requires trust and patience. And that's what I see here in this passage. They got together and I'm assuming that they didn't know what to do. So Peter starts preaching. He starts telling them later on in chapter 1, you start seeing how he starts connecting the dots between Old Testament and New Testament because it's starting to click why Jesus had to leave and how Isaiah was preaching what was happening and this beautiful message. And so they had to figure it out. Maybe we're going through a time where we don't know what to do. Maybe we don't know what to do tomorrow, but all we know is that we're going to gather in the house of the Lord and we're going to pray. We're going to gather and we're going to seek God. We're going to gather and we're going to learn and study the Word of God and we're going to draw closer to God, even though that requires trust and patience. See, in verse 6, they say, it's right before Jesus ascended to heaven, they say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And I find ourselves in that position many times where we ask, what are the solutions? What are the quick fixes? They wanted to know, will you restore this? And Jesus is saying, be patient. Jesus is saying, gather together, pray, and wait, because my promise will be fulfilled. And I think in that same way, we can go into this week with patience and with a trust that God is our Lord. Amen. You know, in Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with a thanksgiving, so with a thankful attitude and heart, present your requests to God. So that's what we're doing to the Lord. And it says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what we're praying for. As we go into this week, as we go into this time, even tonight, as we continue with worship and the word, that we would prepare ourselves for a time of waiting. But I want to encourage you with something, and here's an observation. We go into this time believing that, A, God is in control. Amen? Even though we are waiting, we don't know what it's all going to look like. We know that God is in control. That as we wait upon the Lord, he increases our strength and our faith. Because in the uncertain times, that's when Jesus can become real to you and to me. If we knew everything all the time, then what would we need faith for? God is asking us to have faith, increasing faith. And also, this time will allow us to give God the opportunity even more. Just as children go to a father, we say, Father, you come and you do the work. Because when we don't know what to do anymore, we ask you to do the work. So we're showing that we're dependent on the Lord. But at the same time, what I like about this and how it applies to us is that the disciples were not passive during this time of waiting. A lot of times we think we wait and we just sit and we count or we watch Netflix or we watch YouTube or we get lost in stories. No, they got in the house of the Lord in the upper room and they prayed. They prayed and they read the word and they were on their knees and they were united together. They were in one accord. So church, that's what I want to invite us to. Not a passive type of week, but a week where we're encouraged to seek the Lord with our energy, our soul, mind, strength, and body. That when we go before the Lord, as we start every morning at 9 a.m. and we get that reminder, pray for a few minutes. That we start our morning with intentionality, just like the disciples did in this time. That we also, when we meet at night, that we pray with the ferventness, that we don't just pray with an apathy, but we pray with a desire to see God move and shake us. That we pray with a desire to see God fill these seats and touch our children and touch our neighbors and touch the people around us, first by impacting us and then outside of it. That it is not an apathetic or passive life of prayer. And we should be like the early church in faithfulness. And you know, faithfulness produces fruit. And faithful obedience produces good fruit. And our obedience, as we start this season of prayer, as we start the season of rebuilding, may it be one that brings us closer to the Lord. Because, and here's my closing thought, and I'd like the band, if they can come up as they lead us in one more song. Because after Acts chapter 1, comes chapter 2. And that's the beauty of Jesus. He promised us that when we go to him with prayer, when we go with an attitude of obedience, and even though we might not know, as they didn't know how many days or what it would look like, they didn't even know what to do. Peter just started preaching because I'm sure after a few days, you just keep repeating the same thing. And I know a lot of times, maybe a lot of young people or maybe even some people ask, why do we meet at 7, just get on our knees and pray for an hour? I don't know what to pray for. Hey, we're here just to seek the Lord. It might not be the most, musically prepared or like all these different things to encourage you to massage us into this time of prayer. No, we're coming before the Lord just like the early church did, with a faithful obedience to see God work and to see God move within our room here, the Emmanuel upper room in this place. And so that's what my prayer is, that Acts chapter 2 would hit, but first, that we would go before the Lord with an obedience to seek the Lord. Amen?